later. Good afternoon. Welcome to all of my friends. This day, as you have been anticipating, we shall be discussing the new wave that is occurring in consciousness. As you are aware, then, you have chosen to address to each of the belief systems by generating these waves in consciousness that address to each belief system. Generally speaking, to this point, you have chosen one belief system to be addressed in one wave. Now, you have chosen two belief systems to be addressed to in one wave. The two belief systems that you have chosen are senses and creation and the universe. Now, prior to any of your panicking, both of these particular belief systems that you will be addressing to incorporate the potential to be interesting, fascinating, and perhaps even fun. They can be disturbing if you allow them to be, if you generate a considerable seriousness, it is possible that addressing to these two belief systems could be disturbing, for it is very likely that very unusual activity shall be occurring. But if you are relaxed and allowing yourselves to be open and generating a playfulness, I may express that it is likely that you will be entertained and that you can incorporate some fun activity with these two subjects. Although one can incorporate some confusing elements, and that would be the belief system of senses. Now, this aspect of this wave addresses to all of your senses and all of the input of your senses, which is more than you realize. The sense data is not always coupled with thought. Thought does not always translate sense data, for it is not always necessary. The reason it is not always necessary is that your senses are designed to input information to you in absolute terms. If you touch a flame, your sense of touch will express in absolute terms, this is hot and it burns. If you see an object, your sense data will communicate to you, this is a solid, stationary object. Absolute. No question. You're hearing what you hear, you believe. this is the structure of your senses. They are designed to input information in an absolute manner. There is a purpose to that. The purpose is that your senses are very sensitive, and they input information to you continuously, not merely within your waking state, even within your sleep state. Every moment of your existence, you are inputting information through your senses. Therefore, if they are designed to input information in an absolute manner, it is not necessary for your thought mechanism to translate that information over and over again. It has been translated, it has been accepted, it has been transmitted, and there is no necessity for you to continue to engage thinking in relation to all that you input to yourself through your senses. Now, the fun aspect of the senses is that all that is within your reality is not absolute. Therefore, your senses in your terms can be wrong or incorrect. Most individuals express a fascination and fun with magic. Individuals like magicians, and they are fascinated with illusionists. The reason you're fascinated is that they understand how to fool your senses, therefore performing magic. For they perform actions that seem impossible. They are impossible for your senses express to you that they are impossible. This cannot occur. This does not occur. You do not see this. You do not hear this. You do not feel this. For it is impossible. But it is not impossible. And this wave addresses to that possibility that there is much within your reality that is not impossible, regardless of how it appears. In this, actions that cannot occur may begin occurring. And what you think cannot happen is happening. It also will be an opportunity to play with your world, with your environment. Each of you is presently sitting upon what you believe is a solid object, which is supporting you, that it is a stationary, solid object. But it is not. It is moving. You do not perceive it to be moving. For your senses are expressing to you that it is stationary and it is solid. It is not solid, and it is moving. And with this wave, you will begin to allow yourselves to open that aspect of your senses to not be so absolute. Not necessarily. You interpret a fascination with teleporting. or projecting, but physically, or materializing an object, or moving an object without touching it. The objects are already moving. It is merely a matter of how connected you allow yourself to be with that object to move with it and encourage it to move differently than how it is moving. It is moving in a very slow vibrational rate, which allows you to perceive it as solid and stationary. But it is moving. If you are not necessarily accepting the absoluteness of your senses, you may begin to input new information that that chair that you are sitting upon or that floor that you are walking upon is not as solid as you perceive it to be, and that it does move. And that your hand can actually pass through it if you are so choosing, for it is not solid. Or that your wall is so solid that if you dared to engage it, you would injure yourself. Not necessarily. Your wall is moving as much as your chair. And it is equally as non-solid as any other manifestation, including yourselves. Now, this wave in relation to senses is being offered, if you will, by the Zuli family, which perhaps some of you may have guessed what the Zuli family is very attuned to physical manifestation, and therefore senses would be very much in alignment with this particular essence family. The other aspect of this wave is creation and the universe, which plays into furthering the non-absoluteness of your senses. Now, this aspect is concerning your universe, and how vast it is, and what it contains, and creation, not merely of the universe, but all creation, any creation, which also plays with your senses, for your senses help you to perceive creation and help you to create. In this, as I expressed previously, although there are 9 essence families, there are 10 belief systems. This particular belief system is offered by all of the essence families. They all participate in this particular belief system in different aspects or different capacities. Therefore, all of you will be involved in some capacity to more of an extent in the addressing to this particular belief system. what is meant by that is that you will be participating in your own unique expression in relation to the qualities of your particular essence families, be they the essence family that you belong to, or and the essence family that you are aligning with in this particular focus. The qualities of those families will enhance your experiences in relation to addressing to this particular belief system. But there is much to be explored. Prior to you exploring your universe physically, it is somewhat necessary for you to generate a motivation to do so. And the motivation to do so is a curiosity of what lies within your universe beyond your individual world. Yes, individuals have incorporated for a brief time framework in your history, mild fascination with extraterrestrials. I express that quite literally, for it is a mild fascination, for it is a minority of individuals that actually express a considerable interest in what lies beyond your own planet. Most of you have entertained the idea, and many of you incorporate the belief that there is some expression other than your own existence within your universe. Now is your opportunity to actually explore that. And I shall offer a hint, there is more in your universe than merely you. I would not be anticipating spaceships, for it is your exploration. Therefore, it is not a matter of other beings coming to you, but you going outward. There can be. Yes. There can be. And more imagination.
Is this somehow leading to 2012, because creation in the universe, all the services, you know, somehow so many plays into all of this talk about the things changing around that time, so is that way to take us to whatever belief systems are associated.
Let me express to you clearly. There is considerable energy being expressed in relation to the concept of activities or mass events related to this time framework of 2012. Therefore, there is a potential that you may create an enhancement of any action that you may be individually and slightly collectively engaging at that time. But as to a global or catastrophic event occurring in relation to that, that is a distortion and a misinterpretation. And at this point, presently, you are not projecting a strong enough energy collectively to actually generate any significant mass event globally. And I would express that you may be discovering that what is usual or normal to you now or has been previously may not be important or as important any longer. Therefore, those aspects of paying those bills, they become less important. And I'm not speaking metaphorically. I am speaking literally that the attachment and the expression of money is also losing its importance. I am understanding that to this present time framework, it does continue to hold a significant importance, but that is diminishing, which is also a part, as you are aware, of this shifting consciousness.
Looking at every country in such an extreme depth, it's, to me, largely the already should have all disintegrated. That's of how everybody coexists and supports each other. That just shows that this money can already an illusion for a large degree.
It is an illusion.
It is, but I'm saying it becomes more and more obvious, even the people that are not disintegrated.
Yes. Yes, you are correct. But this is an action that will be being established globally, and that will be a movement that generates in increments. It will be, relatively speaking, quick, but even if you choose to be implementing this alteration and this movement through a course of 50 of your years, relatively speaking, within relation to your history, that is an incredibly short time framework to enact such a dramatic change in your own structure. But it will be expressed, for that is what you are choosing, and that is the direction that you are moving into. But as with any new direction, how you perceive it is the first step. Therefore, perceiving it with less and less importance is a significant step to altering that structure of exchange. If exchange is no longer important, there's no motivation to continue to engage it. And this is what you are doing. Question?
Recently, in doing some exercises or listening to some meditation things, imagine yourself, say, on the surface of the moon. Well, when I opened my imagination to that, the huge fog, I can't breathe. There's no oxygen in there. So those kind of ideas come into my attention and totally block any effort to do that.
which is also quite strongly associated with your senses.
Yes. I could imagine myself on the beach, with the feel of the sand in my toes, etc., etc.
Not necessarily. It is merely a matter of recognizing that your senses are not necessarily absolute, and that what they input to you is not necessarily always correct. Therefore, then you think and you believe that you must breathe air. Therefore, you do. These are very strong beliefs, therefore they are very real. Are they absolute? No. Therefore, you can easily imagine yourself walking upon the moon with no air. Correct.
In other words, it's slightly different than that. I love to watch the clouds. I love to watch the reflection of the morning sun coming off the clouds at sunrise. And I've known this for years. If you look at the clouds, they're not moving. If they're stationary, you can sit there and look and look and look and look, and unless the wind is blowing like hell, just standing still. Turn around, look at something else for 2 minutes, and turn back and look at that same cloud. And it's moved. It's really moved. I was playing a game the other day, just doing this. Watching the sun come out. There's a little gray area there. Is it going to move? No, 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 no. Close my eyes. A minute later, I look. It moves. Now, is that in any way related? Because that's not only the sensual data. It's the time that, and you talked about the chair is moving, but it's moving very slow.
Correct.
We're not accustomed to observing things that are happening slowly.
Your senses, all of your senses, incorporate a very limited range.
Time-wise.
Generally, the available input of your senses is very limited. What you can feel, what you can see, what you can hear, what you can taste, what you can smell, all of these avenues of communication through your senses are very limited. You interpret a very narrow spectrum of what you input through any of these senses. There is much beyond what you can input or what you allow yourself to input in that absoluteness of your senses. Within your physical world that is known to you now, there are many aspects of your world that you cannot access, for your senses do not allow you to access those vibrational qualities. Your spectrum is too narrow to allow that sense data input, sound, sight. You, for the most part, are most focused upon sight. That is your primary sense. And that offers you the most concentrated sense data to be supplied to your perception to create with. But what you can see is a very narrow spectrum in your actual physical world. Your vision is limited to certain vibrational qualities. Colors are vibrational qualities, and your vision is limited to certain spectrums of those vibrational qualities. Your vision is also limited in relation to light.
What about the creation of tools like microscopes and telescopes?
You do generate tools that enhance your senses and allow you to expand them, which offers you the information that there are spectrums outside of what you perceive, which expands your awareness, and that influences you or motivates you to move beyond what your senses will normally encounter or what they will input in relation to data. Just as you invent equipment and technology to record sound or other vibrational qualities that you do not hear. You can. It is not impossible. Your hearing mechanism is equipped to hear vibrational qualities that you perceive to be too high or too low for you to naturally encounter or perceive, but you can. You believe that your senses are so absolute, and you believe this narrow spectrum. This wave is addressing to that to allow you to expand the vibrational spectrum that you will allow as sense data. And it all is vibrational qualities, even in relation to smell or taste. You are generating a vibrational action that stimulates a certain aspect of your body consciousness to input information. But they also are very narrow, and therefore you are very limited in what you will accept as sense data. Which, once again, also the reason that you are fascinated with magic, or it fools your senses.
I have a question regarding sense data and memorification. It all needs to be the expansion that's positive. We are going to feel it seems both of them can still be different. And so what's going to happen in the moment when we do experience some extended state, so to speak, is there
No.
They're
not suspended. But they will be expanded. What is meant by that is, as I have explained, you interpret these beliefs, and each belief expresses many influences. You choose certain influences that you engage in relation to a belief. But there are many that you do not engage. Many, many influences that you are unaware of. In this No, you are not suspending your beliefs. You are not eliminating them once again. But, in a manner of speaking, you are expanding them and relaxing them to not be so rigid. You already interpret experience with this in dreams. You do not suspend your beliefs in dreams, but you do relax them to a point that allows you to maneuver within dream state in actions that you would not allow yourself to engage within waking state. Many, many, many individuals interpret dream imagery of flying. You would not allow yourself to fly within waking state. You will not even allow yourself to levitate within waking state. But within dream state, you relax those beliefs. That belief concerns gravity. In this, you do not suspend that belief in gravity in dreams. Although you can fly, you also can walk on the ground. You also are tethered. But you relax that belief to allow yourself more movement and more freedom and to explore more, which is very similar in relation to senses. As you allow yourself to expand what you accept through sense data, you also are affecting your beliefs by allowing them to be relaxed and expanding them to incorporate more information than you allow yourselves now. In this, yes, you will continue to express your beliefs, but you already are becoming quite accomplished at accepting beliefs and moving with them rather than in opposition to them. You already do this very frequently, and more than you credit yourself with. And in that, you do allow yourselves already to be more expressive than you necessarily would have in previous years, so to speak. You are more open, you are more allowing, and with yourselves, you are aware of your beliefs to an extent, and you do allow yourselves to be somewhat accepting. You have incorporated considerable practice already. Therefore, this is merely another step in that direction of expanding more and becoming more self-aware and recognizing that there are more aspects of non-absolutes, and now you present yourself with those. That you already understand the concept of no absolutes. Now you will be applying that in what you would term to be practical application in relation to what you input to yourselves in information in every minute, in every day of your existence. Your senses are always inputting.
If we take the chair as an example, you started by saying the chair is already moving. Now, I thought the energy of the chair may be there, but each one of us creates a chair in our own way. And the way we create the chair is according to our being, so we probably create it more or less stationary. So So what is the meaning of what you are saying, that the shared reason is the moving?
What is your confusion?
Well, if the chair exists beyond me, then it can be moving that I just must see. But if I'm the one creating the chair, then if I create it stationary, then the thing will move. So, according to the numerous, some interesting quality of the chair itself, whether I create it or not, that means more of a fluid nature. Or is that,
no.
Is that how it works?
No.
Okay.
You are creating the chair. But what have I expressed is believing. What is believing? Believing is trusting. You do not question it. You believe the chair is stationary. You believe the chair is solid. You are creating it. Therefore, you create that image, and you create the solidity of it, and the experience of it, for you believe it, you trust it. And what influences that believing, not belief, but what influences that believing that the chair is stationary and is solid is your sense. You touch the chair and your touch expresses it is solid, it is stationary. You touch yourself, you are solid. Your senses are designed to input that information, to give you form and to create a physical reality, which this shall be an avenue in which your scientists can play, which is not a matter of matter exists independent of you. No, it does not. It exists because of you.
Okay. Now, why is it that all of us create more or less similar chairs?
By agreement, right?
Yes. You will incorporate slight variations, but you are also all interconnected. You perceive yourself to be individual and singular. You are not. You are. But you are not. You are yourself as an individual, but you are also very interconnected. In that interconnectedness, there is no separation. Therefore, what you perceive is also transmitted to every other individual in your entire world, not merely within your physical practice. Proximity.
Now,
yes.
The energy behind this chair, is this something we create individually as well, or is that, or does that exist outside of our perception?
Not outside, no.
Not outside.
No.
So if everybody is moving out of this room, the chair is not here. The room is not here.
Yes, it is. For you continue to perceive it to be here. Whether you are looking at it, whether you are physically seeing it or not, you hold the concept, and therefore the structure does not disappear, merely that you are not directly engaging it. You hold the energy of it.
No.
You hold the perception of it.
Now, in this, your statement that the chair is already moving, how does it fit in?
It is not that you begin creating it moving. You already have created it being in motion, for it is consciousness, and therefore it is moving. But you begin to allow yourself to perceive it moving.
Okay.
Wallace and Julie in a session I had this past week talked about brother Branham. And she explained in the first brother Branham experience, she was frightened. But when she went to the second brother Branham experience, she said, they shared with me, she jumped into the impulse in the use of that experience. Could you elaborate on that? Because in the experience of acknowledging that everything is moving and that everything is vibratory and you can play with that, how did she, as you said even earlier in the session today, jump into this energetic phenomenon that was being created and then additionally change its direction? Did Angela do that?
Yes.
Okay, could you elaborate on the mechanics of that creation?
Jumping into an impulse is merely a term for allowing yourself to move with it. You offer yourselves impulses very frequently, but you observe them. You do not necessarily follow them. You do not necessarily engage them. You translate them into thought. You move them from an impulse to do into a thought of doing. And therefore, you observe them, but you do not necessarily engage them. And in that, this expression of jumping into an impulse is merely the action of allowing yourself to suspend the thinking or the analyzing of the impulse and the translation of it and allow yourself to engage it and do it. Once you begin an action, you can direct that in any manner you choose. Once you are engaging an action, you are also directing it. Therefore, it is merely a matter of being self-aware, being aware of what you are doing, what you are engaging, and allowing yourself to be directing of what you are doing.
Awareness without the thought process. What did Angela pretend to create that condition within herself so she could jump into the memory? Was she quiet? Was she relaxed? Was she highly aware by referring?
None of these are necessary. It is a moment. It is merely a moment of being present and self-aware. It is not necessary for any preparatory action. It is an action that you can engage continuously or in any moment, for the only requirement is that you be present and be self-aware. And therefore, allowing yourself to be self-directing. Therefore, you know when you present yourself with an impulse. An impulse is different from an impression. An impulse is a prompting. You are prompting yourself into motion. You know when that occurs. But you also either observe it or you ignore it. It is a matter of being self-aware and acknowledging that moment in which there is an impulse and engaging it rather than merely observing it or ignoring it. Yes?
So I'm trying to understand senses in like a wider context, right? And so my thought is, well, we've got five senses, right? And some of those manifestations of the universe might have a different set of senses, whatever number they are. And I thought, how would those senses be different than ours? And so, more specifically, do you think of other manifestations of us as essence, even here on this planet, which we think of as self? Could you use that to illustrate, like, how are the senses different than our senses, and how might a dolphin perceive the same manifestation that I'm looking at, if that makes sense?
It does.
Okay.
they incorporate a much broader spectrum of sense input. Therefore, they can perceive a wider range of vibrational qualities. Incorporating the same five senses, how they would engage them, how they do engage them, in some capacities are different from what you perceive. Therefore, if you are looking at an object, engaging your visual sense, let us say that you are looking at a blue ball, you see the sphere, you see what appears to be the material that the ball is comprised of, you see the size of the ball, you see the color, you see the shape. You see a solid object. Your senses are expressed in a manner to input absolute information. You see a solid ball. And you see a particular color of this ball. That dolphin sees a ball, but not the ball that you see. The dolphin sees a variation of colors. The dolphin does not see a blue ball. The dolphin sees a multicolored ball with predominantly blue hues. Many blue hues, not one. The dolphin also sees the object less solid. Comparatively speaking, the manner in which the dolphin sees the ball would be similar to how you would see the ball if the ball was in the water. If you were moving the ball in the water, that would be similar to how the dolphin will see the ball upon the ground. For the dolphin perceives the movement. The dolphin will also hear the ball. But the ball is moving, even if it appears to be stationary. Therefore, the dolphin hears the air waves that are connecting with the ball, and the ball itself connecting with its environment. Therefore, it hears the ball. Therefore, yes, its senses incorporate a broader range than do yours, and therefore what it perceives is different from what you perceive, and its sense input will be different. It will be more expanded than your own. But this is what you are pertaining to now.
So in science fiction movies, right, when something is about to appear or about to disappear, oftentimes it begins to shake, and that is kind of...
Correct. Yes. You do this continuously. You merely do not see it, for your senses do not allow you to see it. But you are much more of a blur of an image than you perceive yourselves to be.
But what do you perceive it now, like blurred?
I do not interpret engaging the actual visual sense, for it is not necessary.
But you have some perception of in interaction with individuals, just an appearance.
Yes. It is not necessary to engage the physical senses through the body consciousness to communicate or to connect with each of you.
What about the abnormality? Doable or not, but since it's such an interesting topic, would it be possible, other animal favorites and more supernatural, would it experience anything unusual to the other than yourself?
Other than myself?
You're there.
Hey. We can try to make me disappear.
That would be your choice. That would be your choice, and I would encourage you to experiment.
And also, Elias, Seth spoke about inner senses, and there were quite a few of them that were related to these perceptual senses in physical reality. So you talked about conceptualization and empathy as those are the two main suggested inner senses, right? And so my question is, if I was so immoral about somebody, is that my subjective sense, or is that my, you know, my conceptualization and empathic sense, or is that my perceptual sense of standing?
Both.
Okay. Could you elaborate then? Is this what it means to?
No.
No.
It is a combination of your inner and outer senses. You are engaging your physical outer sense of sight. And you are also engaging your inner sense, your empathic sense, to engage the energy and translating that in relation to your outer sense of sight. You're offering your outer sense more information. You are instructing the body consciousness to see more.
When I sit on the job, then I'm relaxed. In the mornings, I get up. It happens almost every day, at least once or twice. I'm just gazing in, I'm kind of like in a trance. I see a green auras around my hand. Every day. What is that? Because of what Sam was talking about. What's the significance of that to what's happening inwardly? You say the exterior object or the seeing is connected to...
Correct. You are viewing part of your energy field. Every individual interprets a predominant color in any particular moment of their energy field. Your energy field fluctuates considerably. I'm understanding, which is not unusual, but you are viewing it within the same situation or circumstances each time.
Okay.
And in that state, you are relaxed, you are allowing yourself to drift, so to speak, in your attention, which you perceive your energy field, you allow yourself to see a part of your energy field, which appears to be green, which is a calm color.
A question about something that's fairly trivial, but I think it's somehow connected. I got a bottle of milk in the refrigerator, which is like 2 to 3 weeks over the Tuesday, when it's supposed to go bad. There used to be, when I got to the Tuesday, I'd throw it out. And then I said, I throw it out, maybe it'll last another 3-4 days. I don't have to believe the number on the bottle.
Correct.
I'm going on 3 weeks. Only 2 weeks.
Did you try to smell it?
I'm drinking it.
Also, I understand that the due date that they put it
one, buy a new one, right? But they just put on the issues of...
It is a matter of perception and what you believe.
And that's influenced somehow, well, it's but it incorporates my sense pattern.
Correct. Very much so. And in that, you are deceiving the absoluteness of your senses.
So I'm breaking the absolute barrier there.
Correct.
Are our senses a limitation of our physical being? The reason we believe the chair is solid is because of the limitations of our senses as they exist today.
Yes. Quite so. And this is what you are expanding, is that your senses are not absolute. This is what they input to you, absolute information, but that is not necessarily correct. That what your senses express to you as absolute is not necessarily absolute. And this is what you are playing with. And allowing yourself to expand, that there is more within your reality than the limitations of your sense input. We shall break, and then we shall continue with your questions.
I need to disconnect you.
Oh, I forgot.
That's why I'm here, to remind you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm going I'm going to I'm going to go to the next one. Thank you. I'm Thank you.
Okay, I'm announcing before we start, just in case, so that everybody knows, everybody is invited to come to my house after the session. If you need directions, just let me know. It's really super simple, and I'm the only house on the block with a big, huge rainbow flag out in front, so you can't miss it. We have lots of food and wine and beer and whatever at the house, and you're all welcome to come back to the house after the session, and I hope you all do.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, it's
great.
I'm still raving about it.
It's
so good.
Three big years. There's lots of food. There's plenty of food. As soon as we leave, you didn't come to. And then we'll just like sit around and get fat eating. So, all right. Okay. Oh, here we go again. Oh, good. Okay. What? Nothing. I was just making sure she was. Yeah. Okay.
What?
Who knows? Maybe the water will turn on at my house again. That's already not unusual. Anything at my house isn't unusual. My house is always unusual. All right. Off we go. Back into dead land.
Really off topic, but if Carol comes, can you show her your tool room?
Yeah.
I'll take you down there, down to the dungeon where my tool. Oh yeah, I got big tools. I got cool tools.
My application, the one that we developed, used to have the right tool for the right job.
I got tools. Let me tell you. The louder they are, the better, because that means they got a big motor. Into the tools. And I'll show you what I've made with the tools. God, okay. On that note, I'll see you later. Okay, see y'all on the flip side. Okay. Continuing, and you may present your question.
I was going to ask for you, but if you guys don't go for
it. Well, I'm just wondering, since you don't have belief systems and you're in Mary's body and she has a belief system, can you, like Mary probably couldn't put her hands in the table, but you could. So can you with Mary's body?
Can you?
I could, but not.
Therefore, that is the challenge.
Okay, so is that because I can't perceive? If I can perceive myself doing it, then I can perceive you doing it in Mary's body?
You could.
Okay, so if I can't perceive myself doing it, then I can't perceive you doing it in Mary's body?
It is unlikely.
Unlikely?
This is not impossible.
I heard that.
So you
want to
do it?
Do you?
Yeah.
You
do
it.
Okay, why not? Oh, it didn't work.
I foresee you going crazy.
I was trying to help you.
I keep it that I'm grateful.
And other questions not requiring politics.
You mentioned magic and magicians in this interaction. You've also mentioned alchemists previously, as well as energy artists. And I'm wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on them, or perhaps confirm or validate the idea that perhaps their frequency, conscious frequency, possessors, manipulators, and as such, be manifest and manifest, which we all do, but it seems to be a matter of doing it consciously based on the idea of frequency.
In relation to an alchemist?
Yes, and
or energy are they very similar? Are we talking about different shades? Are they very different things? The energy artist, alchemist, and magician. They would be different in how they define themselves. Therefore, in some of the actions that they engage, they would also be different. For it is a matter of how they perceive themselves and their role or their position. A magician is an individual that perceives very similarly to yourselves, therefore strives to create and invent tricks. That the magician is not actually generating any manipulation of energy per se to reconfigure it, but is generating an action that is designed to fool the senses of the individual's audience, and therefore creating what you term to be an illusion, and that being what you recognize as magic. But the magician himself is generating from a perception very similar to yourself, and in the same expression of senses as yourself, not believing that an actual manipulation of energy could accomplish the same action that they are generating, but that they contrive different tricks that they are aware of how they are manipulating actual physical objects, but they are doing so in a manner that is designed to fool you, to appear as magic. Therefore, a magician is not actually creating what you yourselves would view as actual magic, but more of a fooling of the senses. An energy artist is more attuned to manipulation of energy, not necessarily the manipulation of things or objects, but more of the manipulation of directions, which can also be configured in a manner of magic, in a similar manner to a magician, not necessarily reconfiguring actual objects, but manipulating energy in a manner to redirect it or reconfigure it, and in doing so, influencing perception, which an energy artist would also interpret the ability to influence other individuals' perceptions by connecting with the other individual's energy, even a collective energy, and redirecting that to create a different perception of a situation, or even perhaps of an object, therefore somewhat influencing your senses again in a different manner from a magician, but in a manner that would alter your perception of a situation or an object, and therefore you would configure it differently yourself. Therefore, that individual could manipulate the energy to influence you to be viewing a vase and influence you to reconfigure your perception and your energy, and the vase may appear to you to be a toy. This is an actual reconfiguration of energy. But the individual is coupling their energy with your energy and therefore influencing it in a manner that alters your perception, and therefore you create a different object. And the object does change. But you are not aware that you are changing it objectively. You are focused in your attention upon the direction of the energy artist and what they are doing in their manipulation of the energy, and therefore you are not necessarily objectively aware of how they are influencing you to change your perception and therefore change the object, which is an interesting trick, for you are actually generating a form of magic, for you are changing the object, therefore reconfiguring the molecular structure and the energy of that object, for you perceive it differently.
In the original question, you have like a specific individual in mind and energy project.
But I was just trying to get a better sense of the, you know, the spectrum or the discernment of the terminology that Elias is using. But I know that Jack Ashcroft up there, you know, first introduced it, and then a couple of other people talked about energy artists.
Yeah.
But I was also interested in alchemy, you know, the idea of alchemy, where that fits in. Is that similar to a magician or an energy artist, or is that in the spectrum? Or is that
an alchemist is different. Alchemy is a subject of fascination and has been throughout the ages. There are very, very few individuals that actually allow themselves to achieve this action of alchemy. It is very real. It can be accomplished. It has been accomplished in your physical reality. It is different from the other two in that the alchemist is focused upon physical reality. The alchemist can manipulate energy, but is more focused upon altering and reconfiguring actual physical manifestations and can actually accomplish that. For the most part, most alchemists employ different engagements of ritual, which they believe is a spiritual ambition which offers them the so-called power to achieve what they are manipulating physically. Therefore, many alchemists move in considerable lengths to develop different rituals that they can attribute to a particular power, so to speak, which in actuality is a focal point. Whatever ritual they choose and develop is an action of preparation and engagement as a manner to focus their attention in a particular way. And when they do that, they allow themselves to relax those very strong beliefs in certain aspects of your reality, not suspend them, but relax them, to a point that allows them to focus their energy in a manner that they can actually manipulate physical manifestations. These physical manifestations generate a rather narrow range, but that is not for the reason that they are limited to a narrow range, but more so that the alchemists themselves are generally focused in a narrow range of subjects that they are interested in manipulating, one being immortality, one being in affecting certain elements to reconfigure them in physical form to enhance wealth, and one being to generate physical aspects of reality that they believe will influence other individuals in relation to their own desires, therefore creating individuals to do their bidding. These are the main subjects that most alchemists interpret an interest in, for they appear to be the most impossible to achieve, and therefore they are the greater prize. And this, an alchemist differs from the other two in that they actually do achieve manipulating physical reality in these manners, not necessarily to generate actual immortality, but a close proximity to what you would term to being immortality, therefore extending their existence span within physical focus to considerable lengths, and it has occurred even in some of your stories that you have passed through generations, biblical stories. Although they are stories, there are aspects of correctness or accurateness in them, and in that some of your biblical stories of extreme longevity actually occurred. There are alchemists that do not change lead into gold, but that do manipulate physical reality in such a manner to enhance wealth and to create that. And they have been successful. I would express that an actual alchemist is exceptionally rare. For to achieve these types of actions within physical reality, especially without information and an objective understanding of reality, it requires a considerable relaxing of belief and a considerable openness to what may be possible, although it seems impossible. This is a quality that is almost a requirement for an alchemist to generate that action of allowance to move beyond the absoluteness of what is perceived, which is the reason that their ritual is very significant, for that is what they perceive to give them the power to actually employ these actions. But they are successful. It has not occurred other than perhaps two exceptions within your modern time framework, in a manner of speaking. Therefore, I would express within the time framework of the previous 200 of your years to now, it has occurred twice. But alchemists are also very protective and secretive of their power, so to speak, and are very unlikely to be sharing their information or their discoveries, for they generally become, in your terms, quite greedy in relation to what they can accomplish and do not want to share their secrets with other individuals. For this reason, you are unaware of their existence or their accomplishments. And even those that you may be aware of, you dismiss as fantasy or legend, that the individuals did not actually exist. One among you, that you may be in this modern time familiar with, who was to an extent successful, was an individual of the physical naming of Nicolas Flamel, who is an actual individual, or was in your terms, and was actually very actively involved in the discovery and development of alchemy, and to an extent was somewhat successful in several directions. One, in generating a considerable increase in wealth, but was also successful in being quite secretive with that, and also extension of existence within this physical reality, far beyond what you would identify as a normal age for an individual to exist within your reality. Therefore, I would express that this individual was considerably successful in his endeavors. That would be an example of a relatively recent individual.
How many are you seeing?
Is that difficult? Is he still alive?
No.
And were you at our lives?
A dabbling. Not necessarily what you would term a serious practitioner. Not incorporating the determination or the focus of attention which would be required to continue that type of action. But yes, a dabbler, and in that playful, but not considerably successful. Bob et al. And you have also. You merely seek that immortality in the same physical form, but in actuality, you possess it already. Physical age.
And
this is not enough.
Okay?
Yes.
We spoke time ago at a meditation group. I was looking at a picture on the wall and allowing my imagination to play games with what, you know, I saw. And it changed from a picture of a woman standing to a picture of a man, like, kind of looking out the window, just the bust of him. And so, the first time I did this, I would look away and I would look back and then repeat the exercise, see if I could do it again. And I did it again and again and again. Then, after the meditation, I was sharing this the following week with the group. Another woman did the same thing and described the same perception and the same picture. I got so much to seeing that picture on the wall that when I walked into that house and looked at the picture, that's the only thing I saw, was the picture of the man looking out the window. You told me, because I asked the question, did the pigments in the picture actually change in my reality? And you said yes. Well, that's an alteration of physical material.
And you do it more frequently than you think.
Huh?
You all do it more frequently than you think. You merely dismiss it.
But I was thinking that's kind of like an entry into becoming aware of our physical, you know, if you ask for an example, that's kind of like an entry into becoming aware of that power.
Yes. Quite so.
Whoever, another person might have something else that illustrates to them, but something like you said, unusual, right?
Yeah, I, as a matter of fact, after this had gone on for a couple of weeks, I tried to get the original picture back. Getting the original picture back was more difficult than getting the... I finally succeeded in doing it. And it was by... I was in a very relaxed, playful, trance-like state throughout all of these experiences.
But this also involves your senses.
What?
For then, when you change that sense input, when you alter some aspect of your reality, and you generate that into your perception, and you have actually created that physical alteration, it stands. Now your senses are inputting that the new manifestation is absolute. And therefore, you continue to see it. It is, as you expressed, not impossible to alter it to the original, but it is more difficult, for now you have already changed it. And once you have changed it, you employ your senses in another manner in relation to time. For your senses do input information in relation to time also. Once you move in time, what has been past is gone. It has been altered. Therefore, is different now. It has changed.
But this whole thing was a transformation of a physical object.
Yes.
Okay, so that relaxed meditative state is kind of like the one you have to be in?
No.
You don't have to be
it in. Is what you generally do, or the most common time framework in which you will allow these types of alterations, for you are less focused upon any action or object or manifestation, but it is not necessary to be in that type of state to generate a significant alteration. And you do create alterations when you are not within that state, but you dismiss them. Or you express to yourself that you must have been mistaken. You will view some physical manifestation, and within very few minutes, the manifestation will be different, and you will look again, and you will express to yourself immediately, I must have been mistaken.
Well, we were talking about weird things happening before you came forward. Like water forces working and not working. My control switch on the dashboard of my car hasn't worked for years. A couple days ago, it started to work, working now. These are operating, this is what you're referring to.
Yes.
That we are altering our physical reality and either not noticing it or ignoring it.
Or dismissing it. You many times do notice, but you very quickly dismiss it.
So the water faucet is in Mary's downstairs bathroom.
Yeah, was that you?
I would express that I have been, as an aside, involved in many actions that have been occurring with many of you, but not entirely.
You fixed my thing.
A collaboration.
It is a combination.
Why?
Of you and I?
Yes.
Okay.
I am not generating the entire action for you, but I am present and playful. In a manner of speaking, offering a helpful push.
Thank you.
So you feel like in the dark, right? Since you're not, like I said, since you're not so much engaged in your primary sense of sight, like sometimes like, I'm afraid of the dark, and I feel like the reason why is because I feel like my inner senses are very heightened, and I sense like, I guess, energy or whatever, when get like a presence. So I feel like, is that sort of related? Like, you know, I'm not seeing heightened your inner senses?
So it can.
I'm seeing something, it's just being blank.
It can. There are time frameworks in which an individual may choose to disengage the physical outer senses to allow them a greater concentration upon inner senses. Your outer senses are inputting volumes and volumes of information continuously in every moment. Therefore, to limit that distraction, individuals at times choose to move their attention away from the physical senses to allow more attention to inner senses, and therefore perceiving energy more than actual physical manifestations. It is dependent upon the individual and what your focus of attention is in any particular moment and how you choose to engage. The main factor is attention. And at times, it may be beneficial to an individual to not incorporate as much distraction from the volumes of information that is being inputted through your physical senses. This is the reason that many individuals enjoy and appreciate meditation. For in the action of meditation, part of what you are doing is moving your attention away from your physical senses to stop that direction of distraction and to allow a more focused attention, not in relation to physical manifestations. In this, it allows the individual to flow in other directions that are not necessarily bound to the physical manifestations and all of that input and distraction.
Can you, because I think part of the fear is that, like, I feel like a sense of that I could possibly project that energy more effectively, so like I don't want to myself.
And what do you fear will occur?
I will see something to scare myself. Right, yeah.
And if you see something, what will occur?
I'll scream, I'll...
You will see it.
Yeah. I'll talk to you in the night or something like that.
Beyond seeing it, what will occur? Generally speaking, no action. It will merely be that one of your senses is being engaged. You will hear a sound, or you will see a manifestation. It will not attack you. And generally speaking, no discomfort will occur. It is impossible, and therefore it is frightening. It does not exist, and therefore it is frightening. If I were to manifest in the center of this room and speak to you with no physical body, I would wager to express that most of you would be somewhat unnerved. The point is, you generate fear in relation to what is unfamiliar or what is unknown. When you do not perceive, you can absolutely identify and understand what you are engaging. It becomes an unknown, an unfamiliar, and it is frightening. But if you express to yourself that whatever you see or whatever you engage is an extension of you, it is your energy that is configuring into that manifestation or that action, it can be much less frightening. For what shall you do to yourself? You all interpret very creative avenues to be destructive and damaging to yourself without generating elusive entities that you project that you are so frightened of. If you choose to be hurtful to yourself, you will do it in a much more mundane and obvious manner. A projection of yourself is likely to merely be present and do no action. Yes.
Could you comment more about the interplay between the dream state and the waking state? Kind of how we're able to create in our dream interact with our reality when we're awake?
In what capacity? This is a broad question.
Yeah, in the sense of like earlier speaking about your senses being more expanded in your dream state, is there a way to control
To transfer or to translate.
To learn from it and try to translate that into something in your wisdom.
Yes. And individuals do it frequently. It allows you to feel more confidence in yourselves and in your abilities in many situations. Although in some situations it may generate the reverse, but the more you involve your objective awareness in dreaming, the more likely you will be to translate dreaming imagery into waking imagery. Dream imagery itself is objective. Dreams are subjective. Dreams are a subjective action. But the imagery of dreams, what you see in your dreams, is the objective participation in what you are doing subjectively. And as the objective awareness is very abstract, it translates into imagery what you are doing subjectively in manners that appear to you to be strange or bizarre or impossible. And this is the reason that your beliefs are more relaxed within dream state. Now, the more you involve your objective awareness in your dream activity and the generation of imagery, you become what you now commonly term to be lucid within your dream state. The more lucid you are, the more you are involving your objective awareness, creating imagery. The more you do that, the less separation there is between dream imagery and waking imagery. Individuals that generate very lucid dreaming can actually become confused in what is dreaming and what is waking reality. And this blurs the separation of these actions. Therefore, yes, you can translate the dream imagery and the dream activity into waking state. For the more you involve your object of awareness within dreams, the more it influences you within waking state to question the absoluteness of much of your reality. The more it encourages you to expand what you may allow in your waking reality as possibilities. Therefore, yes, it does translate.
Is there a purpose to this?
Define your question.
Through the origin, what motivates us to dream? Is there a purpose?
This also is a broad question.
Is there a function?
Yes, there is a function. Dreams are the subjective awareness generating activity in benefit to you somewhat independent of objective direction. When you are engaged in waking state, your objective awareness is directing all that you do. This is not to say that your subjective awareness is following your objective awareness. It is not. They are equal and they are in harmony. But the subjective awareness is not abstract as the objective awareness is. Therefore, the subjective awareness, in a manner of speaking, is concerned with directions, subjects, what is important to you, what you value, what you want to do, and how to accomplish that. The subjective awareness is also focused in efficiency. What are the most efficient methods or directions to accomplish in any particular subject? As you are aware, the subjective awareness also, for the most part, directs the body consciousness in its functioning. This is not to say that your objective awareness does not participate in that, for it does. For your objective awareness is sending signals very frequently to the subjective direction of the body consciousness. Therefore, if you are generating considerable tension objectively, you are sending signals to the subjective awareness, which is directing the body consciousness to respond. And the subjective awareness is not involved with what you may term to be creative interpretation. That is the abstractness of the objective awareness. Therefore, the subjective awareness in its directions discovers the most effective and efficient path, so to speak, to accomplish any particular action. Maybe creating a malfunction and dis-ease within the body consciousness to express a message to your awareness in relation to what you are doing objectively. It is not concerned with the comfortable or the uncomfortable. It is concerned with accomplishing. Another example. Objectively, you may be interpreting an employment and being dissatisfied. That sends a message to the subjective awareness, I am uncomfortable. The subjective awareness responds with the directedness to the body consciousness, and you find yourself in a position of generating some action and becoming fired from your employment. And wondering how that occurred. They move in harmony to each other. Within sleep state, you generate dreaming for the objective and the subjective awarenesses to merge together and move equally in the same direction. Not one influencing the other, not one leading the other, not one directing the other, but for both awarenesses to be functioning equally and your awareness of them both simultaneous is equal. Your participation with your subjective directing awareness is present, and your awareness of your objective doing is also present. Therefore, you incorporate the desire which is being expressed. You can now climb Mount Everest in your underwear and not shiver. And the climbing of Mount Everest is the imagery that the objective awareness is translating. This is the subjective awareness expressing we are determined, we are moving forward, we are accomplishing, regardless of how impossible this appears, I will accomplish. And the objective is expressing an agreement and creating imagery to reflect that in dreams. Dreams are also purposeful for other reasons, one being for inspiration. Dreams can be very inspiring, even if you do not recognize it within waking state. Many, many time frameworks in which you may be accomplishing in different manners may be sparked by what you did within dream state. The imagery may be entirely different, but the subject is the same. Dreams are also very purposeful and effective in functioning to create an avenue for outlet in which you generate actions within dream state that you do not generate within waking state. Therefore, they provide an avenue to outlet energy and experiences that you would not necessarily choose to engage within waking state. An individual may interpret dream imagery of murdering another individual and may be very detailed in their imagery. That same individual may not even consider such an action within waking state, but it has already been accomplished within their dream state. Therefore, it is not necessary to accomplish it within waking state. It can be. Or an individual may be mauled and eaten by a tiger within dream state, and that fear is released and expressed within that state, and therefore within waking state, the individual does not necessarily express fear. Or they play it out in their dream state. You, as a species, naturally incorporate a propensity for excitement and thrill. You do not always always want to objectively, in waking state, express that natural propensity to excitement and thrill. That is not to say that you do not naturally want to generate it. Some individuals do generate it within waking state. Many do not. And those that do not will generate those experiences within dream state. Therefore, dreams are very purposeful, for it allows you to generate experiences that you would not necessarily allow yourself to engage within waking state. And all of consciousness dreams. Not all of consciousness sleeps, but all of consciousness dreams. Every aspect of consciousness, every link of consciousness that exists dreams. Yes.
So the species down the road, the human species, will it increase in its potential to create the impact, the impact, the possible solution? Right, you know what I mean. What you just said, make the impossible possible. Is that the propensity of the species? That's what we mean to it?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll be able to see how we are manipulating physical reality more and more. We'll be more aware of our connection with that.
Yes.
We as a small group are aware, but the mass.
Yes.
Okay.
This shift is not limited to those individuals that offer themselves information specifically in relation to this shift. This shift is global, and it is occurring with every individual, regardless of what type of information they offer to themselves. And as I have expressed many times, individuals do offer themselves information in relation to the shift. They may not interpret those words, but they are offering themselves information in whatever manner speaks to them. Yes? Some individuals may offer themselves information through their crops or through their creatures. Some individuals may offer themselves information in walking through the woods. It is merely a matter of the individual's attention and what speaks to them and what they allow themselves to be open to. Some individuals offer themselves information in relation to this ship through God, for that is what they believe, and that is where they focus their attention. Some individuals choose angels. Some individuals choose demons. And some choose myself. But it is all valid. You are all shifting, regardless of what you label it with. Yes.
What is the motivation for shift and for this change in the way that you mentioned initially? We look at around and we say, okay, I'm going to allow you to make a change. I mean, how does that work from the designer's point of view? Or is this a good thing?
You are the designer. You are the designer. And in relation to your question, it is not that your reality is not proceeding, or that in your terms it is not working. It is. But the nature of consciousness is to expand. And in that, the nature of consciousness is always to be becoming more self-aware. And you have reached a point in your development, in your reality, in which it is necessary for you to generate a much greater expansion. You have explored, for the most part, what you can explore, given the limitations that you have held yourselves to. Therefore, in order to explore more, it is necessary for you to expand more, to allow yourself a greater field of exploration. You have explored what has been available to you thus far in relation to your one small habitat of your planet, and even that you have not entirely explored yet. But you incorporated tremendous desire to expand and to explore more. And in that, you are providing yourselves with a source event to create a greater avenue for you to interact, for you to explore, and for you to experience your interconnectedness, your just slightly scratching the tip of the iceberg in the awareness of your interconnectedness with each other, but your hunger to know more of that interconnectedness is tremendous. And as you continue, that expands also, that your interconnectedness extends far beyond this one reality, far beyond this physical expression. And your first avenue that you incorporate a tremendous interest in are the ghosts that you all incorporate an interest in. What do ghosts do? Do they?
When you mean ghosts, you mean those who are in transition?
I'm expressing individuals that have disengaged from your physical reality. And that is your closest veil of the beyond. For that, you do allow yourself somewhat of a figurative, tangible relationship with, that these individuals were people or were creatures. They did exist within your reality. Therefore, they are the least removed from you when they disengage in your perception, and therefore they are your closest avenue to exploring beyond what is present in your physical reality. So there is a tremendous interest in ghosts.
Even if they have passed through transition?
Generally speaking, most individuals are not so very technical and do not incorporate the technical ideas of transition. Most individuals are more concerned with what occurs directly after you disengage.
Well, my father disengaged 50 years ago. He's through transition?
Yes.
But he's still a ghost that I could...
Yes. I disengaged from your physical reality more than 100 of your years prior and continue to be a ghost that speaks to you.
Indeed. Indeed.
Can we come back to second wave?
And that is what we are speaking of. For we are speaking of what is beyond your planet and your physical reality, which includes your universe. Your universe is not merely physical. It also includes all of your ghosts.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just something like Lotto, which everybody loves because it's winning a lot of money. How can we relate what you're saying to the Sharma said, well, you just simply have to put the intention out to create something and then you insert it in reality. So can you elaborate on how this
How you define that.
So, for instance, I may want something in my life and put energy into that, but my universe may know my path better than I do.
No.
Because my own thought is getting in my way.
Your thought may be. There is no outside power that is guiding you or that is preventing you. There is no greater power, no higher power that sits in direction of you or denies you any expression or direction for your greater good. No, that is incorrect.
No, it's for my greater good, not to prevent.
I am understanding, which is what I expressed. That is incorrect. You generate those choices.
But which part of you? Not the part of me that's objectively
aware. Ah, yes. That objective aspect of you chooses. It is what I have been expressing to you for an ongoing time frame over and over. You are aware you are not paying attention. You are expressing the direction objectively. You are engaging the choices. You are merely not paying attention to the choices that you are engaging. You are generating that energy. You are generating those actions. What you think of as another source or another power or your subconscious that directs you, that generates the choices for you that you are not aware of, is not an elusive, unknown, unseen element or energy. You generate all of your choices, and you do incorporate an awareness of those choices, but you are not paying attention to what choices you are generating. And therefore, it seems that you may be creating what you do not want, or you may be creating what you want and are unaware of it. It is not that there is no awareness, or there is some outside source or power that is directing you, it is a matter of attention. Now, I will express to you that your attention is very influenced by your associations. What are associations? The evaluation of experiences. With every experience that you generate, you also generate an evaluation of that experience, and you attach to that evaluation, to that experience, a good or a bad. This experience is good or it is bad. Those associations influence what you pay attention to. This is the reason you do not see what you are doing. For you are paying attention to the associations, which may not be valid and may not be a part of what you are actually doing in the moment, but they hold your attention. It is as simple as you're not paying attention, watching, or observing what you yourself are doing.
Because, speaking, like the creation of the universe, I think it's like very, it's topically very similar to what religions are. And so I'm confused why this is not the religious way that it seems to find very differently.
This is the involvement of all of the essence family. This one particular feeling system. And in that, each family incorporates a different aspect, which I will challenge all of you to think of and to contemplate. Each family incorporates qualities which associate with an aspect of creation and the universe. Not necessarily religious. That is an aspect which would be attributed to what family? Not necessarily.
It was like orientation is an aspect of physical creation, right?
No.
Like orientation is like an aspect of physical creation. So, like, so someone might be intermediate. They create subjectively, from my understanding, means they pay attention to more like their direction, their intent, rather than the choices so much. I mean, they do incorporate that, but I don't know. I might be storing that, but at least I understand, like, at least orientation is an aspect of physical creation, right?
Yes. Yes. Each essence family is contributing an aspect to this exploration. Also, beings would be Borladin. I will offer you one other example of the correlation between an essence family and this belief system of creation and the universe would be the Sumathi, which many of you are. That association or that correlation of the Sumathi would be opinions.
Opinions? The belief system of
opinions? No. This is an expression that is an influencing aspect of the creation and of the universe. The contributing factor of the Sumathi family is opinion. You form opinions in relation to your universe. You form opinions in relation to what you create. You also create beings. Another fun direction that you may choose to interpret it would be to investigate the dream walkers. They are also very closely tied to this particular belief system in what they contribute to creation, what they contribute to your universe, and in that it is a cooperation of all of the beliefs of all of the essence families, not merely one direction, such as religious, in relation to this particular belief system in this wave.
Can I ask a question? With the, we're talking about, belief system, just with this, our dimension right now?
Yes.
So for interpreting our universe, which would include everything even outside of our dimension,
your universe does not interpret outside of your dimension.
Okay, so our universe does not incorporate outside of our dimension. That's fine.
No.
So our dimension is our dimension inside our universe?
It is your universe.
It's our dimension. I mean, this dimension is not in my dimension. Right now, life is my dimension.
Is it within this universe?
Yeah.
Then it is within your dimension. The reality may be very different. But if it is within your universe, it is within your dimension.
Well, then how come you haven't differentiated between dimensions?
Yes, there are many.
There are many dimensions, all within my universe.
No. Your universe is your dimension.
My universe is my dimension. So there's other universes?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that was my confusion.
Yes. Your universe is your dimension.
My universe is my dimension, but there are other universes outside of my dimension.
Yes. There are other dimensions outside of your dimension which interpret their own universe.
Okay. So I'm included in another dimension.
No.
No, they are within this physical dimension.
Those associated with this reality.
Do you want to
dream
this enough, or you stick it out?
I can.
But do you want
to? I do. And I do.
And you do and you do it, or you yes. do and you want
it? I do and I do.
And don't you do it also?
Yes.
Yes. And we're all connected and we're all participating in other dimensions.
Yes.
All right.
We are
so
correct.
There are different dimensions, different beings, different life, but all different. In different dimensions, all different rules.
Yes.
It's all the things you describe, like your favorite being. What I remember you saying at one time was a certain shapeshifter being that you had. That would not be in this universe.
No.
Okay, good. Not that it's bad, I just need to make a distinction here.
No. So you're not doing within this universe.
How would you reword the phrase moving from a third dimension or a third vibrational state to fourth?
Yeah, so that's the
kind of. Oh, yeah. How did you define what you
What's
your interpretation?
Moving into different
dimensions
in the manner of third dimension, fourth dimension.
Yes. Yes.
That would be within your universe. Yes, that would be within your universe.
Is Bashar in my universe?
Yes.
His physical being, the physical part of him, I mean, I communicate with the concept of him. Oh, he is in my universe.
Yes.
Wow.
But can you give us an example of beyond our three-dimensional universe of what that would be?
You would not understand. Yes.
Have any of us experienced that though? in our states where we relax our...
No. Disengage this reality, yes.
So dimming in a sense, if I'm talking, dimming in a sense emigrated to this universe from, I mean, to this dimension, I meant to say, from another dimension, and took up residence here in a manner of speaking?
No.
No, okay. See, I'm confused.
We're all confused.
No. But generated a manifestation. There were no physical focuses prior in this dimension. And that essence chose to begin generating physical focuses in this dimension, but was already present in other dimensions.
So it made it to another dimension in the
It was merely a choice.
Oh, okay.
Is it possible to disengage from the universe?
Yeah.
And go to the cloud.
Well, you mean not to die, but to just
Because
you can do the sun.
Yes.
Wow.
It is possible without the mortal.
We have observing essences. Is it possible that they have focuses current that we might know? Or doesn't it work that way?
Clarify your question.
I have an observing essence named Bernard. Does that essence perhaps have a focus?
Yes.
Current?
Yes.
On this planet?
Yes.
That I might know?
No.
That rarely happens.
Rarely.
Okay, second question, very personal. Gail, I think her essence name is William, has a daughter Jewel, essence name Lanya, who has a partner Juan, because they cannot be here at all. Would you give essence name, family, and Lanya?
And the impressions? And the impressions?
This is a request that was handed down by the I forgot to ask for the question.
Essence family, Samari.
Samari?
Yes. Alignment, Gramada.
Gramada.
Essence name, Sim.
Spelling?
S-Y.
Thank you.
So in the sense, apart from the same way?
Yes. But it is more geared to outer senses.
Okay, but would we somewhat experience more clarity and intuition or more potential?
You can, yes. So. Quite definitely so. Yes.
Elias, may I ask a personal question? I'm curious, my Evan's family and alignment and Evan's name.
And your impression?
I don't know what that means.
Your impression as to your Evan's family.
She's unfamiliar with
that. Mother's not. Impressions do not require information. Very well. Belonging, Shumafi. Alignment, Nilume. Essence name, Alwan. A L L A W A N.
And orientation and
focus type political. Orientation soft.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We shall discontinue.
Can you have one more question? The sum that you just gave us, that my sister, the same essence as my sister?
No.
Okay.
And I shall be anticipating our continued interaction. I offer to each of you tremendous appreciation and great lovingness. Tremendous encouragement for fun and playfulness in your new discoveries with your new wave.
Thank you.
To all my dear friends.
Thank you.